Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Alexander Audio, and my guest today is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer who lives in Wilmington, Delaware. And we've had a number of conversations about the web and the Alexander Technique, the advice for your website, talks about social media, talks about all sorts of aspects of the web, and a theme that has run through some of our conversations that we're going to address more specifically today is just the power of the interconnectedness of the web in general. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, very glad to be here, Robert.
So the other day, mentioned to me a story about how you posted something on another teacher's blog, I believe, and that ended up resulting in a completely different teacher across the country getting a new student. Do I have those facts correct?
Not exactly right, although that could have happened also. That could easily happen. The story is that I've been blogging recently and I've had a reader of my blogs, and just in the last couple of weeks, she's been commenting on my posts and seems very interested in, you know, what I've been saying. And she, in her comment, said, "And I had my first Alexander Technique lesson today in Los Angeles," I think she is in. So I'm in on the East Coast. So, so there's a teacher in LA who's had a student, because, or at least in part, because of reading my blog. So,
right. And that's the kind of thing that happens a lot on the web, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it always happened even before the web existed. Someone would know someone who had lessons, and they might call their friend or send them a letter in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been that kind of almost random process about it. I mean, mm-hmm. How does someone find out about the technique in the first place? But what's really changed, especially I think in the last 4 or 5 years, And somehow it seems like, especially in the last few months, and we're talking early 2012 here, that process has kind of speeded up in a way. There are a lot more people with blogs suddenly blogging, and I'm talking about really quality blogging, has taken off on Alexander Technique blogging has taken off. And that brings in whole new groups of potential clients around the world. And so those sort of serendipitous contacts are happening a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who generally are going to benefit from that, say the teacher in L, I would be surprised if that person... teacher in LA would be someone who didn't have a website.
It would be a great surprise if it was someone reading her blog who wanted to find a teacher. And I think I might have even posted sites where you could find a teacher in LA for her. I'm thinking that as she was already hooked onto the web, that she probably found a teacher through the web. Yes.
Well, most of the people who are reading blogs or on Twitter or Facebook are not going to have much, if any, patience with someone that doesn't have a website. It's going to, in their eyes, that person just doesn't exist. is kind of the way it is. And you may have a listing on a professional society website, but if you don't have a website where people can actually see who you are, I think you're pretty much a goner in this new world.
Yes.
But that's the topic we've kind of hashed over earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I wanted to make is that this incredible interconnectedness, which seems to be kind of speeding up, is benefiting those people who are on the web at some in some way or another, at least with a website.
Yeah.
And it's also benefiting those of us who are kind of doing some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a growing number of people, but I have to say, in terms of absolute numbers, I don't know what the number is, but it's well under 50, probably. And given that there are whatever...
You mean who are using
who
all
are
sorts
actively,
of...
Yeah. Actively out there. There might be maybe something pushing 100 who are occasionally posting on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, but it's nowhere near the... whatever the number of Alexander teachers is, 4,000 or what, who knows what the number is, but it's still a very small percentage of people. And we're the ones who are really reaping the benefits from this. And of course, that's nice for us. But
the point of my, I guess, my little story is that what you put out there doesn't necessarily benefit you. Although it does too. I have another story that I got a direct contact to take part in. I was invited to take part in a health expo because of a blog that I wrote.
Right.
And that so directly affected me personally in this area, which was a good thing. But mostly it's going to be just very indirect. And so my hope would be maybe that somebody reading a blog or a post or an article by maybe a teacher in Nebraska or a teacher in London or Manchester, England, or, they might be from my neck of the woods in Wilmington, and that would spark them to then look up a teacher and find, so it's word of mouth. That's very global and very
very fast moving.
Fast moving.
And casting a very wide net. So, like, if somebody has a good Alexander technique experience, in the old days, they might tell a few friends,
mm-hmm.
and maybe one of their friends would know someone somewhere else who they think might benefit, and they'd call them or write them. Now, they might blog about their experience, and several hundred or ultimately thousands of people would tune in to that.
Or they might tweet, or they might post
it, tweet it, or Facebook, or use the social media that are out there, and so they're casting a much much wider net,
mm-hmm.
and the recipients of the benefits of that are going to be those people who at least have some basic internet presence. Mm-hmm. And that's to me kind of takes me to a theme I've been harping on lately, which I call the digital divide. I don't think I invented that term, but in the Alexander world, it is an incredibly sharp divide between those in the know, so to speak, relatively small number, and the vast majority of teachers who, are completely not present. And sometimes out of choice, but my sense is almost always because they have misconceptions about what's involved, how much it's going to cost, privacy issues, whatever, most of which really aren't terribly valid, but they're still genuine fears,
mm-hmm.
and that have held people back from participating in this project, let's say, the Alexander mm-hmm. Technique on the web, which is almost exactly the opposite of a zero-sum game, which is, one person benefits, another person loses. This is a world where everyone gains. Every new person joining helps every other person that's mm-hmm. there. And to me, I just, I cringe when, I have to say, being the webmaster of the complete guide to the Alexander site,
mm-hmm.
I am a little bit on the front lines of missed opportunities because I get calls all the time from people. I average about 10 or 12 calls a week, actually, or calls and or emails from people who want to find a teacher somewhere, and they've checked on my site. There's no one listed, and most of the time there actually is a teacher in their area.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that by looking at the, you know, the teachers' lists. And most of the time when I tell people, well, there do seem to be some teachers, but they don't have websites, they're not listed. Most of the time, it's very clear that the person isn't going to pursue it. And I see this all the time, and I think, good Lord, these people are missing out on student after student.
I think you sort of might think, well, they're not really doing it. They're not as professional, somehow got the professional status of the people with webs.
It's a perception that they're not serious.
Yes, I guess that's what I meant.
They're not serious, and I've said this before, but I think, and it sounds kind of a strong statement, but honestly, not having a website is equivalent to not having a phone number. I mean, you wouldn't expect to start teaching the technique without having a phone number or an email address or whatever. And that's kind of where that's kind of where it's at on the web these days. So I guess, you know, my plea is, if you're a teacher and you don't have all the students you want, and you're not in any way involved on the web, or you're very marginally involved, maybe you have a website, but it's not particularly attractive or properly configured. You haven't done anything with it for years. You're missing out. You're missing out. And it's sad.
Yes.
Do you have any sort of other thoughts on this topic?
Well, just one thought occurred to me is there's maybe one thing that might be holding some teachers back, in that they don't feel like they want to be sort of out selling or marketing the technique online. I don't like doing that. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I don't do it. What I do is I put out information about the Alexander technique. I mean, very occasionally I'll post information on a workshop I'm doing.
Right.
But the vast, vast majority of what I post is sort of little educational tips and links to blogs and articles and that might be of interest. So you're just... it's more of a matter of educating people that this technique is here and what it can do.
Yes, that is the characteristic of this upsurge in blogging, in Alexander blogging.
And I think that's really, really useful. I mean, that's far more useful than someone just putting out there, you know, I'm teaching lessons here or I'm teaching a class here. And never putting anything else. And the other thing about the web and the interconnectedness of it, it's with people. And so people want to know a bit more about you. And I don't mean that in a privacy issue, but they won't maybe be interested in a class if you've never posted any information or educational pieces that are telling people about what you do.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. People, you know, I think there's a lot of research that people choose teachers or other professionals. A lot of it's based on what you might call irrational impressions, and not so much on the facts. And, you know,
I've heard it said that, you know, people like to buy from other people who they know and they like, and maybe and who they trust. And if they have sort of got to know bits about you and what you do from things that you're posting online, then you're sort of most of the way there when you then... Does that make sense
absolutely,
to you?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I totally agree with your point about not, like on Twitter, when I scan through Twitter in the morning and figure out who I'm going to retweet, I don't retweet retweet people's announcements about workshops here or there,
Well, I mean,
particularly
that doesn't make sense. That would make sense maybe
if I were living in the area.
You live in the same area. That's hopefully just would be, you know. So it is useful. I'm not saying don't do that, but don't absolutely do not. That should be a very minor part of what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. And you might, someone listening might think, well, I don't really have any educational things to talk about. Well, the stuff is all over the place. All you have to do is just grab it and rebroadcast it. You can start in this field not writing much of anything yourself. You know, there are years and years worth of tweets and
stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches there's right now. I can hardly keep up with on the Facebook page with all the good stuff that's out there, all the videos, all the audios, the blogs. I mean, it's just amazing what is out there right now.
And that is another really good point about the huge benefit of this interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just on a personal level, it's been so rewarding for me being online and using social media in this way that I find these great blogs to read. I know immediately when an article was posted in Florida somewhere about the Alexander Technique, or it was on TV in New Orleans, you know, and I see that video. And also, I feel like I've got to know a lot of other Alexander teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
even though
yes.
I haven't met many of them in person. And that's really a nice thing in this profession when we're fairly few and far between, especially, you know, I think you and me both live in areas where there's not very many other teachers.
Right.
Some people, you know, do have more of a community, you know, close by, but a lot of us don't. And that's a very real nice other benefit of getting online.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess maybe a little shout out to people who are on teacher training courses. Get started before you graduate. Get a site, get on Facebook and Twitter. Establish yourself by doing having some blogs, some tweets, a website. And then by the time you graduate, there are likely to be some people who are going to want to have lessons with you right at that point.
You'll already have those inroads already to people getting to know you.
I think most trainees ought to have something started in their first year, but certainly by the beginning of their third year ought to have it up and running and be reasonably active. And they can start teaching right away.
Sounds like a great plan.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think we've covered this topic. I hope it's nudged a few people in the right direction. My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, Alexander teacher and website designer and social media guru. Social media guru who lives in Wilmington, Delaware. Imogen, thanks so much for this.
Oh, you're very welcome.